Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. If you would like to send correspondence to the WIBR Warn Radio, you can do so through our contact page on warn-usa.com. And be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Twitter by using hashtag Watchman216 and hashtag Warn Radio. On Instagram, use hashtag Warn Radio. On LinkedIn, you can find us by hashtag Watchman. And join us on USA.life and MeWe with hashtag Warn Radio. You can join us on Parler by using @WatchmanDGS and Clout Hub by @WarnRadio. You can listen to the shows through the following carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. You can also listen to the shows by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And these are the latest featured articles on danaglennsmith.com. If churches could talk, if it were true, that what would they say? The Lord said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 40, "I tell that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." In Numbers chapter 22 and verse 28, "The Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, In this I have written a satirical, poetic article to reveal a point." And also, American missionaries need to reach lost America. I mean true believers in Jesus Christ who are blood washed, born again, taking up the cross, and moving out by faith to reach the lost. And the latest articles on warn-usa.com are Battleground World Report on Classic Warn Radio Series. This republished Warn Radio broadcast brings the message and the original story to you. Also, Visions and Untempered Mortar. False visions and untempered mortar are the common bonds of a society that has fallen away from the Lord, not to mention that America is not a theocracy. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, you know, I'm doing good in spite of the snow. Actually, I was surprised.
It's cold.
Yeah. You know, it's just the way it is. It just...
I never look forward to winter.
Well, not this kind of winter. I mean, if I was in Hawaii, winter in Hawaii isn't bad.
Yeah.
Except for the storms, you know.
The hurricanes.
Yeah. Plus, it's an island. Our family comes from an island.
I don't think I would enjoy living on an island.
Well, I got the insight from my dad, who was raised on an island, Catalina. And he said, the problem with an island, You can never leave unless you're in a boat. You can't drive. You can only drive so far. You can only walk so far. It's an island. You know, after a while, you've seen it all. You can only walk around the island so many times.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always thought, well, man, you know, that'd be nice to be on an island. And then Dad explained it to me. made a lot of sense, because I'm the kind of guy that, you know, when we go up in the mountains, we go up in the mountains.
Yeah, I prefer the mountains in the summertime, not in the winter.
Yeah, I'm no Jim Bridger, and I have no intention of being a mountaineer up there in 20 feet of snow.
Ugh.
Of course, that puts me out of moving to Alaska and having my own cabin and living off the land, too.
Yeah, I'm too old for that, I think.
I just, doesn't interest me.
No, it doesn't. Me either.
You know, but, you know, the thing of it is, if America doesn't repent and get its stuff straight, you know, things can, you know, really cause a problem, but...
Yep.
You know, we're getting a lot of action, a lot of our social feeds, and...
That's exciting.
And, you know, there's a lot of things happening, a lot of... and I have put up some recent stuff, and I've been using our main platform, not only on our own websites, but all the main social media that we're on. And they all have their little quirks. They're all different. But the WIVR, the Watchman Institute, main page is over on MeWe. And the USA.life Warren Radio page. And then, of course, we're on Parler, but Parler is a little different, you know. It kind of reminds me of a sophisticated, snobbery social media type that, you know, that works. And they're nice there, but I don't know. They're just, I don't care for it as much as some of the others. And, of course, then there is... CloudHub, who reminds me of more of the on-the-street thuggish type, you know, at times, and speaking your mind and patriotism and everything meeting all at the same time on CloudHub. I mean, it can get in your face real quick on CloudHub. Parler's a little more sophisticated. That's why I call them sophisticated. They're, you know, you can have that. They're not quite that way.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of funny when you think about it. Now, as far as Twitter goes and Facebook, they're not even a considered part of what we do. Now, I do have 3 Twitter feeds, and we put a lot of stuff over it. But for years and years before this ever got out that Twitter was the way it was, I was telling Tower and even the online listeners that Twitter... is not as good as it seems, because we have been putting a feed on all 3 of our Twitter feeds 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the time, for years. And as far as the action that comes off that is minimal, if that.
Twitter's not our friend.
Well, it's not a conservative friend.
No, it's not.
As far as I'm concerned, you know, Twitter can go get lost, and Facebook, I don't even bother with Facebook. I put stuff up on it because we still have a few friends that stay on it, and I just put stuff over there for them. But I don't care whether anybody comes to the page or not, and I could care less what happens, because the one page that's connected to it is Instagram. And I keep it there for a lot of reasons, for basically the doctors and a lot of other people that we have on there that we're following. And recently today, I put another guy on there, and this happens to be a former chef who had gotten sick, and he used Gundry's, you know, just like Gundry. He did the research himself. It's amazing. By the way, I put that over on our chat tower.
I did see that.
And it's an amazing story. And he talks about the kitchen, how tough it is.
He has the same name as my dad.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Seamus Mullen.
I think they pronounce it Seamus. But that's his Irish name.
Well, you ought to look it up and see what it is. So that's interesting.
It's James.
Oh, is that what Seamus is?
Uh-huh.
Really? Well, yeah. I noticed the Mullen part. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But he's all healthy now, and it's all because of food. So I do keep that on there. Instagram is different. They're starting to crack down like Facebook, and if they ever get like Facebook, I'll be off of it. There needs to be an alternative to Instagram where some of these doctors and things can get on there without having some two-bit brainless knucklehead that has been given the charge of banning everybody. That's what they have on Twitter, brainless knuckle political heads that have been charged with doing things that they haven't a clue, and most of them do it out of feelings and out of hate. And that's why anybody that is, they find anybody that disagrees with them, their main thinking, they ban them and cause trouble. So I wouldn't even put up with it. I'll tell you, I don't know why they've allowed Twitter and Facebook and Google to do what they're doing, but, there's nothing I can do about it. As far as Google, I stopped. We used to do the ads from Google a long time ago. I got rid of them because I don't support Google. And I do have an Android, and it's not my fault they put Google on it. But Google you can't trust Google. And you can't trust Facebook and Twitter. And this is old. I've been saying this for years, haven't I, Tower?
Yeah.
Long before this. I've been warning of technology. I've been warning of this new generation of technology that's coming out, which most people don't even know about. And for several years, we've been talking about the Tiger Lake Intel products that are coming out. Now they've got the new laptops, Evo. And all of this is headed into a new kind of technology that you've never seen before. And this is the same kind of technology, a form of it, that will lead to what I've warned about as far as controlling the world and Antichrist. So, at any rate, enough of that.
Yeah.
But it's scary when you think about it, that the very thing we love is going to enslave mankind.
Oh, I know.
And it will. So, at any rate, we're in part 68. Tower will announce all that. But, this is official. I have 68 hours of teaching.
After tonight.
68 hours of teaching from Isaiah. And I figure that by the time we're done, we could have around 150 hours of teaching. This is an extensive, in-depth, and it's not like others that go through it. This is the way I do it. And from a watchman standpoint, and from a believer standpoint, so 68 hours, there's a lot of listening there.
That's right, there is. Well worth it.
So at any rate, we're going to have to get started here.
Okay, so tonight, part 68, Joy of the Lord, Isaiah's prophetic book. Joy of the Lord is our strength, so goes the Christian song. Yet in this show, we find there are those who seek to hide their ways from the Lord. Of course, if you believe modern churches, governments, and people do not go this course, you would be wrong. We find conspiracies, plots, and secrets being kept everywhere, it seems. There is coming one day a finality for it all. Okay, now back to you, and I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Well, this particular episode, is titled Joy of the Lord. And I get a lot of these titles right from the very context of which I'm teaching from. Isaiah's prophetic book, part 68. And one of the biggest songs, as I pointed out, that Tower had read, "The Joy of the Lord is Our Strength." And that is so true, even in today's society where you and I live. Because there is so much garbage going on. If you just kept on your social feed and you never did anything else, you'd come away depressed. And you have got to learn to focus on the Lord, on His Word. Now, you need to pay heed to this. Now, we left off in Isaiah 29:14, 15, and 16. I like to bring you back to let you know where we left off from last time. And one thing Isaiah now talks about, "Therefore will I proceed to do," I will do this, in other words, "a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent shall be hid." And, you know, this reminds me of what the Lord told Jeremiah, and I think it's Jeremiah 33:3, "Call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which you know, which you do not know, or which you know not." When it becomes impossible for man, it is possible for God. And that is why in the world of humans, when you reach the end of your rope, there's the Lord. Because when you reach the end of your rope, you know, before you get on that rope, you need to tie a knot in the very end of it. That way, when you get to the end of it, you can hang on to the knot and call on to God. Because otherwise, you're going to slip off the end of the rope and you're going to lose out. And in the world today, there's a lot of people who are hanging by threads, as you say, or a rope, and they're not doing very well. And there's even a lot of Christians, especially over in persecuted countries, that are not doing well. And the reason they're not is because a lot of their teachers have been murdered by the various groups that hate them. So they wind up with others who have nominal teaching and understanding, especially in discipleship, and the people are not fed enough to get above where they need to be. So in Isaiah 29, it reminds us, 14, "I will proceed to do a marvelous work." And if there was ever a marvelous work that needed to be done, it would be in America with the way our particular nation is. Well, verse 15 then starts out with this, "Woe unto them." Now, you see, in the world of faith and in the world of man, there's two different roads. And in America, for instance, we have a divide ourselves. And there's a lot of people that's not happy about it. And there are groups that are forcing us to see, well, America's made up of two kinds of people. The ultra left who want to go to socialism, and then of course they lump in the Trump supporters and all the others as people they need to round up, and that's what Kamala Harris has said, and she's going to be vice president if she wins, which she won't, but that's what she would do, round up all the Trump supporters. But there's more than just those two groups. And there's a Democratic assemblyman for New York for over 20 years who happens to be a Jewish man. And I have put his video over on our various social feeds. And in it, he explains why in 2016 he did not vote for Trump and why he's going to vote for him now. It's one of the best detailed, organized things that addresses why the Democrats are leaving the Democratic Party and choosing, as he says, America over the party because the party has been taken over by Bernie Sanders socialists. Well, in the world of Isaiah, there were those that had the counsel of God and would allow it, and there's those who found their own counsel. Because why should I call upon the Lord when I can do it myself? That enters into our everyday life in America, for instance, even in medicines. Why should I try to believe for divine healing when I've got a doctor, when I have medicines, when I have a hospital? I will wait, therefore, and call upon the Lord when the doctor tells me there's no hope. Or maybe I will. Maybe I'll just take his word for it and die. You see, the bottom line of it is that why would you wait when you can call upon the Lord and seek him for healing? Now, folks, I can tell you from one who's been healed divinely by the Lord, and Tower can tell you from one who has been delivered, and I've been delivered, that you need to learn to seek the counsel of the Lord first. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, as Christians, as believers, and those who, as Paul points out, can avail ourselves of the blessings of Abraham, we can avail ourselves of this scripture, which is found in the Tanakh, or the Old Testament. So in 29:15, Isaiah turns around and says, after he told them that the Lord's going to do something great, you see, this goes back to previous things we've said that Isaiah's talked about. At the same point that the children of Israel were delivered out of Babylon, it didn't go well with the Babylonians because they were overthrown by Cyrus. See, this is what you have to understand. In this world today, judgment is coming. And I mean major tribulation, wrath of God, into the world kind of stuff. Now, we don't know the exact date, but it's coming. We are already in America and the world in precursor judgments. Anybody can see this. So Isaiah turns around after telling them that God is going to do something mighty. He says, woe unto them. He just got done telling them that God was going to do something great. Why would it be woe? Well, he's talking to Israel now. These are Jews. They have the temple. They have the prophets. They knew what the Torah was. They knew what Sinai was. They understood the Mosaic, the Sinai covenant, and what Moses did. They knew the history of their coming into the land. They knew of the miracles. They knew of David. But yet, Isaiah says to them, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord. And their works are in the dark, and they say, who sees us and who knows us? You see, this is where you begin to run into trouble, when you have a nation that knows better, as Israel did, and they turn from what they should be doing and turn to darkness. Inner America, we knew better. In the beginning, we had Christians here, and grant you, everybody in America wasn't some fairy tale Christian, as many like to think, that they're nuts and they're living in another kind of world. But we live in the real world as believers. Because we stand between hell, death, and redemption every day of our life. We know from whence we come and the death and the path that we had walked. And we know to which we go. That path of light and hope and deliverance in Christ. And we know that on that path, there happens to be an intruder by the name of Satan, the deceiver, the liar, the father of lies, and his minions who strive to lead people astray. And so Israel got into that. They started falling away, and these people did these things. Of course, there was a lot of things they were doing. By the time Jeremiah came along, and Judah was doing their thing. And of course, this is a precursor to what happened with Babylon. This is all surrounding Sennacherib. And he's going to do a great work. And, you know, strewn within his writings are very prophetic events. So right away, God's going to do a great thing, Isaiah says, but woe to you that have been seeking to hide the counsel from the Lord, because it's like this, kids. You may think, as in the new covenant, that God is not going to hold you accountable, but he will hold you accountable. Matter of fact, the penalty is worse for us today as Christians in the new covenant and the people who reject that covenant than it was for those who lived during the time of Isaiah in the law. It's much worse today. And Paul talks about this. When you count as nothing the blood of Christ, which was shed by the Son of God, when you disdain it, when you look down upon it and count it as nothing, woe unto you. And Isaiah is saying to them, you had this. You had the blessings of God. But there's those of you that turned away from him. And while God is going to do a great work, but for you, who works are dark, who do it and don't think anybody can see, especially God, and because you think he's been silent, that he has said it's okay, and that you don't think he knows who you are, you don't even believe that God is going to hold you accountable. And that's the same thing with America today and the people that are doing things. Even the Pope don't even know what is true. This guy is really a class act coming out of the Roman Church. But even some of the other bishops know this guy's gone off the deep end with this thing he said this week. Now you can look that up for yourself. I'm not going to get into it. But just because the Pope says it, I got news for you, kids. The Pope is not your father. There's a Father in heaven. But the problem with the Pope, he has, what, 8-10 million people or more? I don't know how many Catholics worldwide he has. And the Roman Church even deals with the Chinese government. And the Chinese government is allowed by the Catholic Church to make recommendations to put popes in. In the church in China, well, the local pastors there that are not part of the Chinese church who have been persecuted openly reject this because they know they're just minions for the communists over there in China. There is a horror church. There are those who work in darkness. There are those who work in darkness and says, who can see us? Does God even care? I don't see him caring, they say. And who really knows what we're doing? Isaiah goes on to say, surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work of him that made it, he made me not, say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed of him that framed it, he had no understanding? If you see someone that works in clay and they have it on the wheel and form it, can you imagine that thing standing up and saying, just who do you think you are forming me? I was fine as just a pot of mud, but you had to bring me out here and form me, and I don't even like the way it looks. No, that ain't going to happen. The potter's clay is there for a reason, because in the beginning, God didn't ask man what he thought. He made man in his own image. But he also gave us the power to have choice. And Isaiah is here is talking to Jews, talking to those to whom he's concerned and sent, those in Jerusalem and Judah. And the message, of course, should reach up in the northern tribes, but you see, they end up getting taken down long before Judah falls. because after all, the priests and the temple was down in Jerusalem. So there was an issue there. Will those who created, who have been created by the Creator, tell the Lord, this is what we're going to do? Yeah, that's what we're doing today in America and around the world. That's exactly what we're doing. That's what Psalms 2 is all about. And I mention Psalm 2 all the time. It's one of the best end-time descriptions. Is the Lord going to allow all the humans on earth tell him what is deemed as righteous and unrighteous? Yeah, that's what we're doing today. And you see radical Islamic groups doing it all the time. You see them killing mainly Christians. You see China, the communists, taking on God himself and destroying the church and persecuting the believers. What did God do with Saul? You know, that is the Apostle Paul. He was ravaging the church. The Lord appeared to him and knocked him off his high horse, and he became the apostle to the Gentiles. You see, God is not going to allow pompous potter's clay to tell him what he's going to do. But there will be a time that he does allow it for judgment's sake. You know, there's that old saying, if you give a person rope enough, he'll hang himself, and so it is with the human race. So it is with those who think they know more than God. You give them enough rope and freedom, they're going to end up hanging themselves, so to speak. Not that we want them to, but because of their pursuit of darkness, their pride, they refuse to listen. Psalm 2, and I've said this many times, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Then, of course, think of Armageddon, and you think of all the nations of the earth surrounding Jerusalem. The Lord said, I will bring all the nations to her, to Jerusalem, and surround Jerusalem, and there I will judge them. Not Jerusalem, judge the nations. Psalms 2, verse 2 says, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. That's all the things that God has decreed. And cast away their cords from us, anything connecting us to what he would say. And of course, that would involve getting rid of Christianity, getting rid of the Bible, perverting it, diluting it, doing anything you can, having one world church that's diluted, where all faiths in every way get you to heaven, make everybody feel good. There's no such thing as a sinner. This is what we've been doing for generations now. And right now, today, we have generations of children that openly serve Satan. We have a whole bunch of them that are utterly lost that need help. And they are led astray by these morons in the middle, you know, in these big cities, ravaging and burning and pillaging and killing and doing everything, and they think they're cool. Well, folks, the Lord does not allow that forever. And the title of this is Joy of the Lord. One day, those of you who serve God through Christ and have a hope in him and in the kingdom which he brings, you will have the joy of the Lord like you've never had in your life. You will be totally redeemed, but at that moment, those others who rejected will be totally lost forever because they rejected. Now you see, in Judah, the leaders, priests, and prophets, the political establishment, let's just put it that way, had corrupted and perverted the people. They brought in other gods. They allowed it. I mean, today we just make laws. You know, now it's okay. It's okay to do that. It's okay to kill babies out of the womb in New York because they passed a law because all them humans over there said, well, that's fine. And they have no clue that that is called blood guilt. And I cover the blood guilt, and I'll tell you, you can find the blood guilt and its judgment from Genesis to Revelation, including the Gospels where Christ was walking this earth. If you think for one moment that God is going to allow man to get by with his murders, his thieveries, his lying, and then there's this little part in Revelation that says of the Lord, he will destroy those who have destroyed the earth. That's what people on their own will try to do. Does it make sense? Well, we have all of Iran that if they had a bomb, if they believed, and they do, that if they put these bombs in the right place and blew up the enemies, they could have their Mahdi come in and they would have a one world Islamic empire. You see, we are coming to the time when the Dark One will be here. And because of the way technology is going and society is going, it will be so easy for him to delude the entire world. We're already deluded into believing that your technology is great. I have warned for many years of this because I know where it leads. Now, there's good to it, but where it's going, you will not want to be there. And one day, there will be this new world that Christ will bring in. And so the prophet moves ahead in this discourse. And it begins, of course, in 15 and 16. They've turned everything upside down, and they think because they've done that, now the potter is going to be told by the clay, this is the way it's going to be. But see, he begins in the 14th verse, two previous ones before this, that I'm going to do a marvelous work that none of you will believe. He's going to overturn everything. See, and that's where you get the plans of men today. They plan on a new world globalist order. They plan on destroying the nationalism. They plan on bringing in a worldwide kingdom. They plan on doing what they want, and they are possessed by billionaires like Soros and many, many others. There's a lot involved in this. But see, the kingdom they're building for themselves, and even at the helm, the Dark One arises, he has a limited time. In that limited time, he will deceive the world and everyone, now catch note, everyone that is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will take the mark. If you have not accepted Christ, and I've talked to a number of these kind of people, they have religion. They know of Jesus. No, they're not committed. No, they've never repented. But they know about the mark of the beast, and they tell you, no, we will never take it. Yes, you will. Because if you have not repented and received the Lord, you will take the mark and be damned forever. you know, it's kind of ironic today. Franklin Graham was talking about this very same thing because he called out the Pope for what he was doing. And he says to have him tell everybody that is wrong. And if you're on Twitter, you do some searching for the Pope and for Franklin Graham, you will find the thing. If you're interested, you'll find out what they said. But you said the Pope doesn't have that much authority. And it may be way well-meaning on his part. But see, following the Lord is not out of the humanness, it's the spirit. We don't serve God and obey him in the flesh, per se. We are born again through the Spirit. His words are spirit and they are life. His Spirit is in us. We are the temple of God. And this body is a temporal housing. This body is known as the body of death, and you have to put that off. So in verse 17, the prophet says, "And is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest?" In other words, when you're talking about the invasions that happened in those days, like when Sennacherib moved, they would trample down everything. Forests, fields, lands, and everything else. And the nation as it is now, speaking of Judah, is sinful. It has a formal religion. They don't have their heart in it. They're a bunch of hypocrites. They serve other gods. But there's a change coming. And there's a change coming in the hearts of the people there. That God will do a work. He will wake them up. And he has a way to do that. Where those who know him and will serve him will be increased. Now, of course, within all this, he doesn't say when this is going to happen. He just describes it, which is typical in Isaiah, because there's a lot of very deep prophetic things regarding the millennium, regarding the coming of Christ, that he puts out in all of these prophecies that he does. Now in verse 18, and it says, "In that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness." Now I can tell you right away that verse. You see, there is another verse in Isaiah, a judgment on the Jews having to do with having ears they hear but do not hear, and eyes to see but they do not see. They have understanding but they do not understand. Now this is the opposite. Shall the deaf hear the words of the book? Now see, when Christ came, that was a fulfillment. He came as a suffering servant. They were looking for a political Messiah to deliver them and raise Israel up into the glory that they had known under Solomon. But you see, Paul talks about a lot of this as well when dealing with Israel, because Israel is blinded, and he explains that. But when the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, then that blindness shall be removed. And that's in the future. And I believe that Israel is having those blinders removed slowly. I think today in Israel there are some mighty powerful messianic ministries like Mao's Israel who reach out to the Jews, those who have not been converted to Yahshua. The bottom line of it is one day the children of Israel will understand. They will see. And if Paul points out, and all of Israel shall be saved. But all of Israel is not all of Israel, because there's a whole spiritual aspect to it. Because the Jews and the Gentiles shall be grafted in. And in the words of the book in Revelation, it talks about that city where the nations of them that are saved shall walk. The kings of the earth will bring their glory into the city because they're redeemed. But so one day, as if someone wakens out of sleep and they had had a dream or something, and all of a sudden they're wide awake and they understand now. And it says in verse 19, the meek, that is the oppressed, the afflicted, the unhappy. And it talks also in this word form of humility or virtuous suffering. So it's more than just meek, it's virtuous suffering. And in the Old Testament would be those who are following, you know, the covenant and doing that which God requires of them. Now Christ came and fulfilled the law. And in the New Testament, that would represent the persecuted of Christ as well. But the thing it says here is the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. And that's where we get today's entry to this part, 68. There is suffering in the world. There are people that do wickedly, and they're always going to be there till Christ comes. We have them in America. Of course you're going to have them in America. They're plotters. And we haven't seen it this bad in a long, you know, I don't think ever. But the bottom line of it is, my dad went through World War II. And he loved being a doctor. He wasn't the doctor per se, but he was a Navy medic, and the doctor came along. He kept people alive long enough for the doctor to come. When he got out of war, he wanted to go to college and become a doctor. He said he sat in those classrooms because he wanted to be a doctor so bad. But he had just gone through the horrible war. He had seen a lot of people die. He was the one that patched them up. He saw the looks in their eyes. The doctor came by, and there were two kids there on the ground, the same wound. The doctor took one look at him and he says, "This one will die and that one will live." He says, "This one has the will to live, this one don't." And Dad said, that's what happened. So he didn't make it as far as being a doctor. But he lived a long life and was happy. He had problems, like all people do. But you see, that's life. There are people that are oppressed and suffering and afflicted, and we talk about them, especially today on our Wednesday night broadcast. But when we talk about Christians who have hope, there is suffering. There is heartache. There is that place where the world hates those that love Christ. Christ said they would. And even for the Jews, they have suffered. They look for the Messiah like we look for the Messiah. One day the blinds will be off. One day, Jew and Gentile and every other race that's accepted Christ will rejoice together. and this one who has redeemed us, he is the Jewish Messiah. His first followers were Jewish disciples. The first apostles were Jewish apostles. We are connected to the Jewish aspect more than many, many Protestants would care to even discuss. But one day, every difference we have will no more be there. One day, the wickedness will be done. One day, every injustice that's been done by a person to another will be paid full and final, and the Son of God will be there, and he will judge them, but there will be witnesses. And the witnesses that will be standing before him that day will be the very ones that these people have abused, have killed, have murdered. They will be there. You will see it as well. You will be a witness. You will see them standing there before this great throne with the Christ on there judging them. And there will be none of this, God, you should have. No, they will be on their face because they are in sin. You cannot stand before this God. You will fall on your face and you will beg for mercy. You will rise because he will tell you to rise, and you will look at him. You will hear the penalty against you. You will see the witnesses, and you will know what you have done, and all the blood you've shed, and every bit of misery that you've created will come at you full fold. But it'll be yours for all eternity because you've rejected the truth. Now, my friends, we're in Isaiah. And Isaiah is talking to the Jews in an effort to get them to understand. God was using Sennacherib to wake them up so that they would turn to him, because later on he would send Jeremiah to them and they wouldn't wake up, and Jeremiah knew they wouldn't wake up, but he was sent anyway. You know, most of our pastors today worry about how many people are in church attendance. Well, when it comes to Jeremiah, they call him the weeping prophet, but this guy, all of Israel hated him. He had people that believed him and followed him, but he had a lot of people. They didn't like him. The religious or the political establishment in Judah did not like Jeremiah. If he would shut up and not talk about invasion by Babylon, if he would just be quiet with some of the stuff, but he wouldn't. He kept telling them the truth until finally it came to pass, and Jeremiah was standing in the middle of Jerusalem. He was in Jerusalem. He had been locked up, been released, but there he was. When the armies of Babylon came in through the gates and they seen him stand, and they went over and they knew who he was. He said, "We know you." The pagan nations knew of the prophets of God, the Jewish prophets of God. Everybody knows about the Jewish prophets of God. You think you got a prophet today? They don't even hold a candle to the Jewish prophets. But one day there's going to be two prophets just like the Jewish prophets, and they will come down and there will be no lipping off to these guys. They will say, "Thus saith the Lord," and they will be able to command every form of thing against the world to show them one last testimony of what they've been doing. So you see, God does this. And that's what Isaiah is getting across to the Jews. Listen, he is going to bring in this kingdom, guys. And he is going to win this. You may think that God has lost control, but that's not true. Psalm 10:12 says, "Arise, O God, lift up thine hand and forget not the humble." Psalm 10:17, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. You will cause their ear to hear. Psalm 25:9, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Matthew 5:5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Psalm 37:11 says, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Psalm 69:33 says, for the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not the prisoners. And Matthew 21:5 says, tell you the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. The high priest and all those who saw this king cometh, they were worried that everybody was following him. They even told him to be quiet. And that's when the Lord said, if these do not cry out, behold, I tell you, the very stones themselves will. So in this lesson, God is warning Judah, giving them a warning shot, showing them mercy, moving in their hearts, so that they will turn to him. But eventually, Judah is sent into captivity for 70 years. But this has a lot to say to America, to the church in America, and to the world in general. Because you may be a communist who's in charge over in China. You may have absolute power today. But this God hears the prayers of those who are crying out. And I can tell you for the church in China, from the testimonies I've seen, yeah, they're hurting. They're suffering. But they don't hate the communists. They know they're blinded. They pray that they will repent and stop it. Because there are more Christians in China today than there are communists. But these Christians don't wield the sword to kill and murder. They wield the sword of God to heal, to deliver, to bring hope, and to get them to repent and find the truth as only the Spirit of God can bring forth. That, my friends, is my hope for America and for China and for many other nations, that they would repent. But everything is in the hands of the Lord. But I know one day the joy of the Lord will be in my bosom as a river that overflows, that shall never be quenched, and that I will always live in, and I will see the Son of God and the Father forever. That is our hope. And in the end, that's what Isaiah was trying to get across to Judah. Father, thank you for this word. Bless your people, Lord God. Help them to see and to understand. In Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. Amen. Okay, Tower. Don't forget, tomorrow we got one more. Tomorrow. Early in the morning.
Early in the morning. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. That'll be exciting tomorrow. Glad it's Friday.
Yeah,
yeah,
too.
I'm glad the people of the world do not understand the joy and the peace that comes from knowing Christ.
That's right.
It's sad. Because he's our hope and our joy.
He is.
Thank God. Thank God we have hope beyond this world, because this world isn't looking very pretty.
You know, that's so true. It just, when you see what's happening in America, but then if you look around and you see what's happening in the world, you realize, folks, in America, you got it easy.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, with that, we're going to have to get out of here, Tower.
Okay, good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us whenever you do. Remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We love you and we pray for you. May God richly bless you in all you do for Him. Good night, everybody.
Don't forget to go by our websites at warren-usa.com and danaglensmith.com. We'll see you again, folks. Look unto the Lord. He is your help. Shalom. Good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warren Radio.